Background, Michigan. The people, the places, the resources, the industries, and the arts. The inside story of our complex environment. The state where we live and work. Background, Michigan. Continuing our look into the rapidly growing restaurant industry of Michigan, we visited the Embers Restaurant in Mount Pleasant. At that time, we talked to Norm LaBelle, owner and manager of the Embers, and his partner, co-owner Clarence Tuma, head of the kitchen staff. Two important factors which greatly affect the success or failure of a restaurant are promotional activities and location. Both are discussed by our guests.
Have you pushed hard in a promotional way? Have you sent out, say, direct mail advertising, used radio, a lot of ads and promotion method to build up this business?
No, our advertising has been running about 1.5% of sales, which isn't considered very high.
Then how do you get this volume increase? What's happening?
Well, it's been mostly word of mouth. It's surprising how many people come in here and either their neighbor or relative or something has told them about it, and it's just amazing. In the summertime, I lots of times make a point to find out why they're here, how they happen to be here, especially if they're looking the place over like they hadn't been here before. I try to get up to their table and ask them if it's the first time they're here, and why did they, how did they happen to come here? Was it the road signs or? And in most cases, someone has told them to stop.
They've heard about it from someone else. This puts a high premium on the importance of reputation, doesn't it?
That's right.
And I would assume you gentlemen are most jealous of your reputation that you've built up in this period of time.
Now, in this advertising budget, we're about ready to re-carpet the dining room, which still isn't too bad a shape, but re-carpet the dining room, get new chairs. But I feel that some of this money could be charged up to advertising indirectly.
Mm-hmm. You look at the improvements to the building as part of the attraction.
Yes, I do, very much so. Because people want the best today, believe me. They don't want anything second-rate.
They want top quality.
When they're paying $3 to $5 for a meal, they want the tops. Mm-hmm. So, and they're entitled to it.
In terms of the trading region, that is, the territory in which you're located, in Mount Pleasant, a central Michigan community in 10,000-plus resident population, or something over 10,000, plus the location of Central Michigan University here and a considerable number of students in town. But this is not by any means the sole source of your customers. How far around would you say a circle that you can pull trade from?
Well, we're getting an increasingly larger number from Saginaw and Bay City. And since the new road to Lansing has been opened, we've had our Sunday business particular from Lansing has increased.
How about the situation with the completion of the through expressway here, which runs very close to your restaurant, but which involves an exit for north or south traffic in order to stop here for a meal? How do you think this has affected your business?
Well, in the overall volume, we've increased every year since the road opened.
Then as far as you're concerned, with the expressway running through here, it is actually an asset. It helps you.
It actually helped us because we get more people now, for instance, from Lansing. They can drive up here in an hour. And I know that we're getting a lot more Lansing customers than we ever did before.
Do you think people going out for a Sunday dinner enjoy traveling 50, 60 miles?
Very much so.
As part of the expression?
They don't feel like they've been anyplace if it's too close by. They like to make a day of it.
Thus, we see why people are willing to travel to enjoy a good meal. The view that Norm LaBelle expressed, that people today expect and deserve the best, is a good indication why restaurants like the Embers are enjoying success. We'll continue this report on Michigan's restaurants on the next Background Michigan program. This is the Michigan State Radio Network.
Background Michigan. The people, the places, the resources, the industries, and the arts. The inside story of our complex environment. The state where we live and work. Background, Michigan.
This is Al LaGuire again continuing our look at some of the problems of restaurant operation with Norm LaBelle and Clarence Tuma of the Embers Restaurant at Mount Pleasant. Today, talking about wages.
Well, now, on the labor economics involved here, waitresses customarily have a wage and tips, or in some cases, in some businesses, maybe work just for their tips or just for wages. But
That's right.
Most cases, we have both, do we not? Would you comment on this, Mr. LaBelle?
You mean as it pertains to the minimum wage?
Yes. Or any other factor that has a current bearing on it.
I think the minimum wage idea is all right as far as the kitchen help is concerned. I can't see where it's going to help the industry from the standpoint of service in the dining room and the class of personnel you get. Let me explain what I mean. The girls are paid a low hourly rate now. They derive their tips as most of their income. They have an incentive there to do a little better job all the time because they want to get the maximum tip. Now, if a minimum wage, I don't know what other restaurant operators have in mind. I don't think the industry could stand a 10% increase right above the board. If this goes in, they're either going to have to have no tipping regulations, pay the girls the minimum wage, but they're still going to be below what they were earning before. And as I was thinking about it, you take a small restaurant, we'll say three employees. We'll say a restaurant has three employees, and he has to go to this minimum wage. Well, the first thing he's going to think of is, how can I make this up? So he's probably going to cut one off. All right, what happens to his service? What happens to the service in the industry as a whole when you start reducing your personnel? I think this is very important.
Is there room within the economics of this for him to pass an increase on to the customers, a price increase?
Well, I think some of your national restaurant magazines say you'd have to increase between 6% and 10%. I would worry about the effect that would have of that type of jump all at one time. I think it might affect the volume.
Might affect the volume of business.
Yes, I do.
How do wages for cooks, chefs, and kitchen help compare with other jobs? Can you be competitive, that is, in hiring one of these young men as far as what he can make over a year's time?
Yes, we
yeah.
can.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. We can definitely compete on that basis. Uh-huh. It's the, I think this minimum wage is at this unskilled worker, dishwashing, on maintenance and various things like that.
But you still feel that as far as kitchen help in this category is concerned, that the minimum wage thing is okay?
Yes, I do.
Most of our people, in fact, I believe all our people are way over that.
Right.
And that is not a problem as far as the kitchen help is concerned.
See, this minimum wage could really give the opposite results. If the minimum wage will say, I don't know, for the dollar and a quarter, and you raised your prices 10%, and you paid your girls just a dollar and a quarter and said no tipping, mm-hmm. Their earnings are going to be reduced considerably.
Some views on a minimum wage for restaurant help from Norm LaBelle and Clarence Tuma of the Embers Restaurant in Mount Pleasant. We'll continue this survey of operational problems in the restaurant business tomorrow on Background Michigan. Now, speaking for the Michigan State Radio Network, this is Al LaGuire.
Background Michigan. The people, the places, the resources, the industries, and the arts. The inside story of our complex environment. The state where we live and work. Background, Michigan.
Restaurant operation and expansion is our current topic, and we're again speaking to Norm LaBelle and Clarence Tuma in Mount Pleasant.
Do you consider the restaurant business pretty much an individual type of business?
Absolutely. I don't know outside of chains where you'd find two alike.
Why do you think this is?
Well, I think it takes on the personality of the people that operate it. Mm-hmm. I really do. we've visited many restaurants before we went in there. We try to pick up an idea here and there that would fit in what we had in mind. But I'd say it's definitely personalized.
In your position in the community here, when you have built up the reputation that that you have, and you're drawing in the trade that you are, you have become, per se, one of the attractions to the Mount Pleasant area. And I'm just curious about your relations with the community. Do other businesses, for instance, appreciate the fact that that your progress helps business generally here? Traffic, for instance, into the community.
Oh, yes. I would think many of them appreciate it. We've had a number of people in business here say that we were an asset to the community, and anything that brings people from 60, 70 miles away for the purpose of eating here, it's bound to have some effect on other businesses, I think.
Do you think that that Michigan's tourist business, the overall tourist and travel industry within the state, is pretty well supported by the restaurant complex, by the restaurants and accommodations available? Or do we need more of some types and less of others? Or would you comment on that?
Oh, I still think there's a lot of room for more restaurants of our type in Michigan. However, when you get up in the farther north you go, the shorter the season is, and sometimes it doesn't warrant this kind of an investment for a 3 or 4 month period, vacation period, and a ski period. You've got too many off months there, and naturally your overhead stays right the same during those months.
Mm-hmm.
I think this is what probably discourages some people from, if they're going to invest a large amount of money, they're going to try to get where they got year-round business.
Are you fellas satisfied with your rate of growth and your progress in the years that you have been in business here thus far?
Oh, very much so. Our volume has very nearly doubled from our second year. This is our fifth year. But we don't have any immediate plans for any additional dining space. We're now in the process of revamping the dining room a little bit. Other than that, we got to slow up for just a little while here.
The business, however, will not slow up as far as you can see now.
I'd say unless there was a business decline, a recession or something, that we think we're kind of big here now with 52 employees compared to what we started with. We started with 23.
Larry, you've more than doubled in that also.
Some views on restaurant expansion from the owners of the Embers Restaurant at Mount Pleasant. We'll look at another aspect of restaurant operation on our next Background Michigan program. Al LaGuire speaking. This is the Michigan State Radio Network.
Background Michigan. The people, the places, the resources, the industries, and the arts. The inside story of our complex environment. The state where we live and work. Background, Michigan.
We've been looking at some of the operational aspects of the restaurant business in Michigan. Owners and managers of restaurants have told us about the many decisions they must make and the problems they encounter when they attempt to serve their customers and appeal to individual tastes. All of these decisions and plans present quite a challenge to anyone who wants to be successful in this industry. To get the inside story on some of these operational plans and decisions, we visited a very successful Michigan restaurant, The Embers, and talked to its co-owner and manager, Norm LaBelle.
One question which comes up and is discussed and has to be talked about in connection with the restaurant business, and that is as concerns the serving of cocktails and the liquor or bar part of the business. Now, when you started out, you did not have liquor, is that right?
That's right.
But now that you have added it, You must have observed some effect on your
business. Oh, yes, this increased our food volume. This is one of the things responsible for this increase in the food volume, was adding the cocktail, a lounge, and serving cocktails. We originally had a resort license 9 months, and we finally acquired a full-year license. And whereas I think the national average of this type of place, your beverage sales should amount to about 25% of your gross sales. We are not that high. Ours are about 15, primarily because we're primarily a food establishment.
Right.
But this makes a real nice convenience, and it draws a lot of food volume by having it.
Then you think that that those who advance the argument that additional liquor licenses in some of our tourist areas are necessary.
Oh, yes.
They have a point.
Absolutely. Absolutely. It's getting to a point where a lot of these resort areas, they don't know which months to delete. There's only three months they can't serve. Well, you know, with the ski activity and the trout season and
hunting
and summer resort, there isn't really a three-month period where these fellows can afford to be without it.
There's no question but what Michigan is a year-round vacation land.
That's right.
Now, in every sense, economically as well as by the calendar.
And I think the state could use the extra revenue, too.
Does the difference between having liquor with your restaurant establishment and not having it, does it pose you any kind of a public relations problem?
No, I would say not at all.
Not at all.
No. We,
no particular complaints
along
that line. This is one of the things that is sometimes mentioned, that there is going to be a local opposition to the issuance of, one or two or three or four more licenses in a resort.
No, I had the petition signed. I didn't have anybody turn me down when I was around having a petition signed for a liquor license. I think I had 500 names on it.
We had the full support of the community, it seems to be, on this.
I think it should be pointed out here that this is a very special situation, that just as you have indicated, this is an adjunct to a food business that is already established.
That's right.
And is not in any sense the same of somebody opening a new tavern, for instance.
That's right.
For instance, we could stay open till 2 o'clock, but we close at 12.
Our thanks to Norm LaBelle for discussing another issue involved in the restaurant business. Our next guest will be Bill Waddell, Executive Secretary of the Michigan Restaurant Association, and we'll be covering the question of the role and importance of the association to this industry in Michigan. This is Al LaGuire speaking for the Michigan State Radio Network.
Background Michigan. The people, the places, the resources, the industries, and the arts. The inside story of our complex environment. The state where we live and work. Background Michigan.
This is Al LaGuire continuing our survey of restaurant operation and management. Today we look at the organization of the restaurant industry in our state. We ask Bill Waddell and John Ballheis to comment on the Michigan Restaurant Association.
The association is the voice of the restaurant industry and recognized as such. And of course, whether we're appearing before a legislative body in Lansing or even down in Washington speaking our piece, we can talk for the whole group, whereas individuals, they wouldn't be heard.
Well, now this is clear from your viewpoint.
Yes.
Do you believe that you have some ground yet to cover as far as the industry-wide consciousness?
I think Bill has something to say.
I was going to say that until we had every restaurateur in the Michigan area as part of our organization, our work isn't done. Then when we get them all in there, we can upgrade the entire industry. We'll have them rubbing shoulders with a successful counterpart, learning how to do a better job, and they'll get the spirit of the industry and will move in that direction. They will serve the general public much better when they're all working as part of the team and using the team spirit in dealing with John Q. Public.
Well, you mentioned that you have approximately 1,000 members now. What is your potential membership in Michigan?
Somewhere is about 14,000. Now, of course, that covers many soda fountain types of operations, places that we do not even know exist. And they do not know that we exist at this time.
Well, then you're having quite an adventure with this drive.
We are having an adventure because we recognize that we haven't scratched the surface on coverage. I would comment, though, in that direction. We probably have the majority of the better known and better quality restaurants. We think that by bringing the rest of them in, more of them will become the high-grade, better restaurants. Better to serve the traveling or the hometown public.
What would you gentlemen say about the personality of restaurant people? To ask for a generalization.
They have to like people.
This would seem obvious. Well, don't they generally?
Yes.
How about your associates? How do you feel towards your colleagues and competitors? John?
Well, we find that whenever we get together, we have a real fine time. Everybody seems to enjoy it. There doesn't seem to be the fear of losing your secrets and that sort of thing that there perhaps was at one time. And I believe that as a whole, as in all hospitality host activities, that our job is satisfying people. If we didn't enjoy doing this, we wouldn't be in the business. There would be no reward really to it, because as a whole, in many ways we work too hard and have too little financial rewards in some other ways to so we have to have a way to make it up. But the satisfactions that we get out of doing the job and having fun in our business is makes it worthwhile. And as I've found throughout the industry, wherever we get together, we find this same fellowship exists.
Our thanks to Bill Waddell and John Ballheis for these interesting comments on the aims and purposes of the Michigan Restaurant Association. We will continue this topic on our next Background Michigan program. Al LaGuire speaking. This is the Michigan State Radio Network.